Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here to explore the Dharma together today. Some of you, I may have noted that it's no longer prepare for Taisho on these regular Sunday morning gatherings. It's prepare for Dharma talk, which opens the field a little bit for subjects not necessarily as seriously related to the Dharma as they might be, say, for during Sesshin. During Sesshin, they are still Taisho. And also it opens the door for senior members to give similar talks on these Sunday mornings, which happens from time to time. But nevertheless, even whether it's called Taisho or Dharma talk, listen with an open mind and an open heart. You can change your posture if need be, but do so quietly and unobtrusively. And however you sit, keep the head up and the back straight. Wu Men said, "Training in Zen must be real training. Enlightenment must be real enlightenment." As I mentioned, most of the Taisho and Dharma talks offered in our tradition, and certainly at this center, are based on koans. This is not surprising given the extensive use of koans in our practice and training here. But once in a while, it's good to step away from them and look at how this whole Zen business is playing out in the larger society. There are all kinds of ideas about Zen have, for better or worse, become embedded in the public consciousness. Hence, the Zen of motorcycle maintenance, Zen of cooking, Zen interior decoration, and on and on and on. There are many instances out there of what Yasutani called Buji Zen, Pop Zen, the Zen of this, that, and the other. But how much of that, if any of it, has anything to do with Zen practice and realization as given to us by the Buddhas and ancestors? Even the term Zen meditation is used in very questionable ways. Some time ago, a member sent me an article clipped from the New Yorker magazine. It was entitled, "The Higher Life." Given the current legal status of marijuana in Colorado, you could take that a couple of different ways. The question that came to me is, higher than what? At the head of the article was a photo of a smiling, shaven-headed man, photoshopped into a line drawing of a temple of some sort with lines radiating out from him. In other words, it looked like those photos you see in the ads in Nexus magazine and other New Age publications. He must be a real spiritual stud. The man's name is Andy Puddicombe. According to the article, he spent some 10 years in various Buddhist monasteries, mostly in the Theravadan tradition, under a Burmese master, and later at a Tibetan monastery in Scotland. He is one of the rising stars in what can only be called the digital meditation industry. He's been introduced by such as Arianna Huffington on her own TED-like conference called Thrive, both of which are written in all capital letters. Puddicombe has developed an iPhone app called Headspace, which he calls a gym membership for the mind. And according to the article, it's a kind of subscription by which you get some 300 plus hours of little guided meditation lessons narrated by Puddicombe. A little voice through your earbuds telling you to pay attention to your breath, the noises around you, physical sensations, and so on. Not so very different from a lot of what we do in our Zazen and in our mindfulness training. But Headspace is only one of a whole new class of apps claiming to relieve mental afflictions like stress and distractions caused, ironically, by all the other apps on your smartphone. They have names like Buddhify, Calm, Insight Times, GPS for the Soul, Search Inside Yourself, and I'm sure there are a lot more in development even as we speak. Some have even claimed that the emergence of this digital mindfulness or meditation aid represents a fourth turning of the Dharma wheel. A very large claim indeed. So just as a review, here are the three turnings of the Dharma wheel. The first turning is the first discourse of the Buddha, in which he taught the Four Noble Truths to his fellow ascetics at the Deer Park in Sarnath, in modern-day Srivasti. The truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the extinction of suffering, and the path to that extinction, i.e. the Noble Eightfold Path. The second turning was at Vulture Peak. It is the teaching of emptiness, sunyata, and of compassion, karuna. From the very beginning, there has never been a single thing. This is from the Prajnaparamita teachings that include the Heart Sutra that we chanted here this morning in its shortened version, and also the Diamond Sutra, among others. The third turning teaches that Buddha nature is our fundamental nature, inexpressible, unthinkable, and is neither form nor emptiness. What is it that cannot be seen, heard, touched, tasted, or smelled, yet without the senses cannot be known? And there is in fact already a fourth turning. The Yogacara school emphasizes yoga practices and seeing reality through such practices. All is mind, consciousness, and the transformation of consciousness to the great reality, or the realization that consciousness is none other than the great reality. So to ascribe this to a smartphone app indicates a gap in knowledge as well as a very questionable claim. The article notes, for several years now, the overlapping worlds of business and self-help have been abuzz about mindfulness meditation. The World Economic Forum in Davos opens with daily meditation sessions. Fortune 500 companies like General Mills, General Motors, and Target offer their employees contemplative programs, embracing Huffington's message that enlightenment need not be at odds with the pursuit of profit. You may imagine that my eyebrows nearly left my head at that last sentence. Others have noted that this mindfulness fad has taken on a cult status in the business world. This movement is not without its critics. The article goes on. Detractors worry that secular mindfulness teachers have whitewashed the technique, dulling its self-critical edge. Let me interject here that self-examination or observation is very much a part of our every-minute Zen training. The article continues. The management professor and Zen practitioner Ronald Purser pointed to a Stanford University study that demonstrated that most workplace stress is caused by things like corporate dysfunction and job insecurity, not by unmindful employees. Corporations like mindfulness, he said, because it keeps us within the fence of the neoliberal capitalist paradigm. It's saying, it's your problem, get with the program, fix your stress, and get back to work. In his defense, Puddicombe says he does refer to the Eightfold Path and the ethical teachings of Buddhism, but without naming them as such. And he also cherry-picks those bits which will appeal to people looking for that 10-minute fix. Now, you may be thinking that I'm being very skeptical of this whole thing, and you would be right. But please understand that there are many reasons to practice, and I certainly don't object to mindfulness training for whatever reason, be it lowering blood pressure, helping with insomnia, dealing with digestive upsets, or just making life in general a little more calm and peaceful. Two of our teachers here, Peggy Sheehan and Karen Kemp, teach mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, which is mentioned in the article. But never have they claimed that it is anything beyond that, certainly not Zen or Buddhism. However useful these techniques and practices may be, they have nothing to do with Buddha Dharma. They must not be confused with a genuine spiritual practice. They are all about fixing the self. I've quoted from the article at some length because I'm thinking, or hoping anyway, that most here will notice the glaring absence of something. The elephant in the room that is being studiously ignored, even by some of its critics who should know better. What's missing? Great is the matter of birth and death. Life slips quickly by. Time waits for no one. Wake up! Wake up! Don't waste a moment. Those words are posted on a sign, engraved on a temple bell, written on a wall, or maybe just on the han at just about every Zen center. We used to have them on a pillar opposite the entrance to the lower Zendo at our former place of practice, but they got painted over during the renovation. I thought that was unfortunate, but hopefully when we finally land in a new, more or less permanent home, we will have those words posted again, where they can be seen on entering or leaving. Now, no one has ever turned away from practice at this center or with this Sangha for the crime of insufficient bodhicitta, not enough aspiration. Anyone is welcome to sit with us here, regardless of their perceived reasons. Those reasons that we are conscious of may not be the only ones or even the most important ones. Bodhicitta, the mind that seeks the way, is experienced in as many ways as there are people who experience it. Everything from idle curiosity to a burning desire to see into the great matter of birth and death. And once one enters the path, begins to enter into Zazen, you never know what will happen. We have members here who began with only a casual interest, but who over the years became dedicated practitioners. My fear is that this mindfulness fad becomes a substitute and a distraction from the deep examination and inquiry that is at the heart of our Zazen. There is the great trap of thinking that mindfulness by itself is the real thing. I trust that most people here are not likely to fall into that trap. In a session, for example, it would get pounded out of you pretty quickly. But I suspect that we have all talked to people, friends, relatives, and others, who have become enamored of one of these fads. And it is, I suppose, harmless in a way. But as far as genuine spiritual practice is concerned, it is a false path. enlightenment, or whatever you want to call it, does not come for free. It does not come without serious and sustained effort. After all, we are dealing with the habit forces of uncounted lifetimes. One of the apps that I mentioned is called GPS for the Soul. Well, a GPS can be very useful if you're trying to get somewhere in a strange city. But if you use it continuously and exclusively, and then it's suddenly taken away, you're totally lost. You have never developed the internal map, which you can only learn by going yourself unassisted and making mistakes and learning from them. I'm afraid that these guided meditation apps are a lot like that. You become dependent on them and lost without them. Please, do not rely on someone else's words or teachings, not the ones you are hearing right now, not even the Buddha's words. Better to blunder along in Zazen with the advice and support of teachers and fellow practitioners, but mostly on your own. You will not find enlightenment outside of yourself, not in your smartphone. It is Zazen that teaches Zazen, not Andy Pettacomb. So do not become distracted from the great matter. Great is the matter of life and death. Life slips quickly by. Time waits for no one. Wake up. Wake up. Don't waste a moment. Paste that gata on the inside of your skull so it will always be in front of you. It's important for all of us to do that. It will not detract from your practice. It will encourage it. Yes, we walk the way in the here and now. But in this world of time, space, and karma, where we all function, where we all live our lives and where we all do our Zazen, we have to remind ourselves of the inevitable end. Now, before we end here, let me say something about next week. Three people, members of our center, will take Jukai. They will vow to forsake worldly attainments and live their lives according to the Bodhisattva precepts. This is the deepest commitment that anyone can make to this practice. And while it's different in focus from monastic or priestly vows, it is in no way inferior or less profound. It is a commitment to real practice and to real enlightenment, as Wu Man prescribes. So please, come next week to bear witness and look to their example. We have received this human body-mind. It's an incredibly rare gift. So this is an opportunity for each of us to make and deepen our own commitment to use this life to the full, to live it to the full, practice it to the full. Together with all beings, we realize the way.